This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Joe Patrick, our Braves insider, joins us. He's brought to you by Jersey Mike's, and we look forward to visiting with him on Fridays, guys. All right, so let's start with the homestand. That, by the way, was Austin Riley. It's talking about heating up. What happened? Did this Sage thing really get the bats going, Joe?
I guess so. I mean, Brian Snicker said himself, he's like, man, Dansby might have to start growing some of that, or I might have to start growing some of that, so we can always pull it out if we need to. I was just thinking, I was kind of joking about this on Twitter the other day. It's like, isn't that the perfect thing? Like, before you have the movie montage of, like, the summer winning streak, you know, where the team goes on the roll and wins the division, all sparked by something. It seems like something out of Major League or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, this team, I mean, whether it was the Sage or whatever it was, I mean, it does seem like there has been a tangible difference in the way that this offense is performing now, which is a great sign, because I think that that's the thing that a lot of Braves fans and myself and you guys, I'm sure, were kind of wondering, was when this offense was finally going to break out of its slump, because we all know that the bullpen hasn't been performing like it did last year when this offense was rolling. And so it's just great to see, and you hope that that can be something that starts to propel this team not only to a winning record, but continuing to kind of hold a division lead as we get the summer going here.
Right, and to continue a winning series, obviously you don't want to, you know, drop one like last night, but the Cubbies were bound to get hot at some point, and Bryce Wilson was struggling. It was going to be weird anyway, Joe, with the sort of the, you know, the mindset of how they were going to cover that pitching-wise. Snicker was like, well, you know, yeah, see how he does. And he didn't really do anything. The good news is, though, the bats have started to turn. Although Dansby, despite being the head Sage burner, is still struggling at the dish.
Yeah. The one thing that gave me some optimism with Dansby, it was just happened to be that day after that he did the Sage burning. He did hit a home run in that game. But more importantly than just hitting a home run, was where he hit it. To me, he hit it kind of over that 375 marker on the right center field wall, which is when he's really at his best, that's where he's hitting. He's hitting that opposite field, kind of center field, right field kind of area. Big doubles power for him going that way. And so I think that was a positive sign, and hopefully he does start to pick it up, because he obviously is one of those guys that we're just kind of waiting to break out. But, you know, one of the things about the game last night that I thought was, you know, optimistic, despite the fact that they lost, was that they were consistently threatening. They were getting base runners. The offense was there, and despite the fact that they lost the game, they certainly had plenty of chances to get themselves back in it. And so I think for a team that's been struggling, that's really what you want to see. It's not so much about, you know, you don't want to necessarily be carried by a Ronald Acuna or a Freddie Freeman just going, you know, super hot. Ideally, you want the whole lineup to be kind of hitting and getting on base and being able to kind of create some offense in any given inning. And that's what I saw more of last night. And so that's what is kind of optimistic, and I think is potentially indicative of this team kind of getting on an offensive roll. But when you talk about Dansby, you know, Ozzie Albies, he's a guy who's been struggling. He's really heating up. You talked about Austin Riley earlier. It's all those guys kind of in that bottom portion of the lineup that is really encouraging to see.
It is Joe Patrick, brought to you by Jersey Mike's, our Braves insider. So this is a little weird. Braves playing the Blue Jays, but they're playing in Florida because the Blue Jays aren't playing in Canada. So they're playing in Dunedin. And I've been to that stadium for spring training during Grapefruit League days. That's a small ballpark. And I only say that with the bats heating up. I mean, you don't have to go double-decker to hit it out of there. How do you think that affects the approach at the plate with the way the Braves have been hitting, playing in a ballpark down there, you know, this weekend?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure exactly how it will affect the hitters. I'm not sure if they do make those kinds of adjustments. I am interested to see, though, in how a guy like Drew Smyly reacts to that. Obviously, Drew Smyly will be going for the Braves tonight, and he did not look good at all. He was, of course, one of the contributors to that kind of disaster day that the Braves had against the Diamondbacks last Sunday. And he didn't look good. You know, he was coming off the IL, to be fair to him, and he didn't have any kind of rehab starts. So it was interesting to see that he did not come back looking good. And this is a guy that the Braves spent $11 million on in the offseason. So you got to kind of expect that he's going to perform. I am kind of, you know, keeping my fingers crossed that a lot of those fly balls don't continue to go out in that stadium, like you mentioned, Carl. But, you know, I think it will be interesting to just keep an eye on him tonight to see whether the arm does look better, whether the velocity is there. And honestly, it's not maybe not so much the velocity, but the breaking ball. The breaking ball for him has really been the wipeout pitch, the great pitch that was elite for him in a small sample size last year that just has not been that same kind of pitch this year. So it will be interesting to see if he gets some of that back in his second start after coming back from this from his elbow injury. But you know, it certainly is something to watch out for, because I think that the Braves could also take advantage of a small ballpark the way they've been hitting.
Your first place, Atlanta Braves, by the way. Tied with the Phillies. Joe Patrick's with us here.
12-13.
But, hey, you know, it's not how you start, Cowboy. It's how you finish. Talk to the Nats. But he's with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. I said to Carl the other day, and it's not a knock on Fried, because I love Fried, and I just maybe he had spoke to Cole Hamels too much, and he's ruined his stuff. But Soroka, we're still waiting on him. Ian Anderson might be the guy that's going to have to get everybody on his back and carry this team. I mean, when are we getting Soroka back, and what's up with Fried?
Well, it's looking like Soroka, he's been moved to the 60-day DL, or IL, I should say, which is not surprising considering what's happened to him. It doesn't really change the timeline for him. I think that we're probably looking at a mid-June return from him, considering all things go well. He just basically has to, because they had to completely shut him down, and he didn't really have much spring training work anyway in terms of games and things like that. He's basically going to have an entire spring training. So that's basically a month. And so that's kind of the timeline we're looking at for him. I think Fried could come back relatively soon. There was some thought that he could come back this weekend, considering that they're playing the Blue Jays and he wouldn't have to hit. They would be playing by AL rules. They'll have the designated hitter. But, you know, I think it won't be long for Fried because he's just dealing with a hamstring. And as soon as he feels like he can move around fine, it's not hampering his, you know, obviously his delivery, then he'll be good to go. But with Ian Anderson, you know, this has been a remarkable story for me because he's a guy who he's not like the phenom Jacob DeGrom type, right, where he's like blowing you away with 100-mile-per-hour heat. He is such an intelligent pitcher, and considering his age, I mean, I think it's easy to forget how young he still is and the fact that this is really kind of his first full Major League Baseball season. You know, obviously it came up in the middle of last year, but this is his first 162-game season. And he's still just like, he has got incredible moxie. He knows exactly what he's doing. He has a great approach to the way he pitches. And the fact, you know, I think he's on, 13 scoreless inning streak right now. His last appearance only gave up one hit across seven innings, I want to say. Just a really, really impressive start. And I was kind of worried because he did get off to a shaky start, and I think his first start of the season this year. But he's just continued to get better and better. And he hasn't been fazed by it. You know, sometimes with those young pitchers, they get off to a rocky-ish start, and you see him falter a little bit. You know, you see them question themselves or things like that. He just hasn't at all. And I think that when you look at what he provides, when you look at what Charlie Morton has provided for this team so far this season, and you look at, you know, Mike Soroka potentially coming back this season in the middle of June, you think you have a pretty good idea of what you're going to get from him. You're looking at the makings of a really good rotation, especially with what you've got from Oscar Yanoa this year, which I don't know if any of us expected, but you've got a lot of quality, a lot of if young quality too, which is fantastic for the long-term prospects for this group. It's really exciting to just think about what all these guys can do, and Ian Anderson's clearly going to be a huge part of that.
It is our man, Joe Patrick, as we talk Braves, and I say that with a deep breath because, you know, some of the things you're talking about, it's just like some things I thought would be better, and then some things that aren't, you know, it's kind of weird, right, Joe? I mean, that's the thing about it. Some of the things we thought would be much better than what they are not there.
Yeah.
And that's the hard thing to kind of explain, and everybody keeps talking about it's early, and then I look at these other teams, and I'm watching the Dodgers and the Padres and these other teams. They're not having these struggles. You know, they're rolling.
Yeah, for sure. The reason I'm optimistic right now with this Braves team, and I'd certainly be a lot more optimistic if they had a 16-9 record or something like that. But I think that what you can really look at and take some optimism from with this team is that they have gotten off to such a poor start, and they're in first place, and they have a lot of prospects ahead of them. You know, like they've got so much potential. We know more of what this offense is going to be based on an 18-month sample prior to this than we do from what we've seen over the last 4 weeks. So I think that we have a pretty good idea that this is going to be a good offense. They've really, you know, they've dealt with this choppy water early in the season pretty well, I think, about as well as you could realistically expect from a team that's in this kind of hot division race. And so I think that, you know, all signs are kind of looking up for this team at this point right now, which is encouraging for me.
All right, Joe, we appreciate that, brother. We'll be talking more about the Falcons moves with the draft, but this is our Braves Insider as your first place Braves. We're scuffling. As Carl said, a lot of stuff, a lot of drama. Still maybe some moves for Alex to make before the deadline. Thanks, Joe. Have a great weekend.
You too, guys. Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.